Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. Well, we come to that well-known passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, where Paul says, I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. A statement which has often been plucked out of its context and stretched to mean things that Paul certainly did not have in mind. But we'll only understand what Paul did mean by that statement when we study this statement carefully within its context. And that's what we are doing. We are getting something of Paul's philosophy of ministry in the last part of chapter 9. We have learned about his purposeful volunteerism in verses 15 through 18, how that Paul had a very specific purpose in mind for his refusal to receive financial support for his gospel work in the city of Corinth, even though he had every right to receive it and the church had every responsibility to offer it. But Paul also had the right to not take it if he so chose. And he tells us that he decided that he'd rather work for them without support, without wages, to do it like a volunteer rather than like a gospel worker that had been, who had a office, the office of apostle, and therefore had the right to be supported by the church. But he decided he would rather instead act like a volunteer, like a regular church member who doesn't receive wages for the work he does around the church. He does it as a volunteer. And Paul said, I'd rather do that because when it comes to preaching the gospel, I don't have a choice in that. I don't do that voluntarily. I do that under compulsion. I'm commanded to do that. I'm required to do that. I will be judged as an unfaithful Christian when I stand before the Lord someday if I don't preach the gospel. I have no choice about that, but I do have a choice about whether I receive wages or don't receive them. And I have a right to receive them, but I've chosen not to receive them because that in itself then becomes a matter of greater honor. I'm not required to turn down wages. I'm required to preach the gospel, but I'm not required to turn down wages. But I choose to do that, and that brings a greater level of reward to me. That's what he explained in verses 15 through 18. But then he explained his purposeful flexibility in verses 19 through 23, and those are the verses that we have been working through in the last day or two. So I pause to welcome you to this Thursday, December 2 edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and to express my deepest gratitude to that band of faithful radio listeners who value this broadcast sufficiently to help us with the financial cost. Thank you very much. So, just working down through these verses, I'm just going to summarize them without reading them again. Paul tells us in verse 19 that he was willing to live like a slave. He had a right to live like a free man, to collect wages, but he was willing to labor like a slave who doesn't receive anything for his labor. his voluntary servitude, living like a slave. That's verse 19. Verse 20, he says, when I'm evangelizing Jews, I live like a Jew. So in certain situations, verse 19, he lives like a slave. In other situations, verse 20, he lives like a Jew, and by that he means he will place himself voluntarily under the Mosaic law when he's with Jews, even though he's not compelled to do that as a Christian. He's a New Covenant believer. He has Christian liberty. He's free. He doesn't have to follow the kosher dietary laws, and he doesn't have to observe the Jewish feast days, and he doesn't have to follow ceremonial laws of the Old Covenant. But when he's working among Jews, he voluntarily puts himself under those laws instead of insisting upon his Christian liberty to eat ham if he so well pleases. Of course he has the right, but it's going to be a hindrance to the gospel when he's working among Jews, and so he waives that right gladly. So, living like a slave, verse 19, living like a Jew, verse 20, living like a Gentile, verse 21, when he's with Gentiles, he reverses it. Now, he avoids following the Mosaic ceremonial law. Why? Because that would give offense to Gentiles. Why won't Paul eat with us? Why won't he eat our shrimp? Why won't he eat our ham? Why won't he do these things? What's wrong with him? Is he a Jew? No. That would be an offense to them. That would become a bigger barrier to them than the gospel itself. When I'm preaching the gospel, all they can see is that's the fellow who won't eat shrimp. And so when I'm with the Gentiles, I live like I am not under the law. With the Jews, I voluntarily put myself under the law. With the Gentiles, I gladly lay it aside, at least those aspects of the law that are not the moral law of God, but those things that are ceremonial, I lay those aside so that that doesn't become a barrier to the Gentiles. You see what he's doing here? If money would be an obstacle to some, I won't take any money. If failing to eat like the law of Moses requires would be a barrier to those that I'm working in, then I will eat the diet that Moses prescribed, knowing full well that I'm not required to do that by God. If, on the other hand, I'm among Gentiles, maybe I would prefer to eat a kosher diet, and I've got every right to do that. Maybe I think that's healthier, but among Gentiles, I'm not going to do that. Because that would be a barrier, an unnecessary barrier to them, so I'll eat whatever they're eating. Boy, I'm tempted to to start making some applications here to today, because I know a lot of people who are so fastidious about their diet that they would rather offend people than break their precious diet. I'm all for a good diet. I try to eat a healthy diet myself, and I won't go into that now. But folks, if I get invited over to somebody's house and they serve me something that I would not choose if I were at home, or I would not choose if I was eating with my wife at a restaurant, something that I would consider to be less than the healthiest choice that I could make, I am going to eat it because I'm not going to create an unnecessary offense. That's the way Christians do. They make the well-being, the welfare of others more important than their own. Do you hear me? They make the welfare of others more important than their own. That's what Paul did. And he goes on to say in verse 22, sometimes that meant he lived like a servant. To the weak, I became as weak that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men that I might by all means save some. It's the same practice, the same principle in regard to the weak. What principle? To avoid taking money, to avoid causing offense when I'm among people who think that way. To avoid eating a non-kosher diet when I'm among Jews, because that would give them offense. To avoid sticking to a strict diet when I'm among Gentiles, because that would give them unnecessary offense. And I follow the same principle, the same practice in regard to the weak. To the weak, I became as weak. What is that? Well, this goes back to this idea of Christian liberty and the teaching elsewhere, as in chapter 8 and other places, that those people whose conscience bothers them about things that the Bible doesn't require of them are considered weak. They are weak in their understanding. They're weak in their doctrine. They're weak in their practice. They are just bothered if they do things that other Christians do and have the liberty to do, but they just can't do it because their conscience bothers them. That's what the Bible calls weak. And Paul says, when I'm with the weak, verse 22, I became as weak that I might win the weak. I'm willing to conform my practices to suit the conscience of the weak if I'm ministering to the weak. You see, the whole idea here is that Paul's willing to give up his rights, Paul's willing to sacrifice, Paul's willing to alter his preferences about what the Bible gives him liberty to do in order to be a more effective minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the context in which he says, I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. That's the context. It has nothing to do with adopting things into our church that appeal to the world in order to attract worldlings into our church services. That's not it. It's willingness to give up what I have a right to give up what I prefer, to give up what I have the liberty to do, if that will in some way become a hindrance to others. That's what Paul is talking about. In all cases, he's living for the gospel. That's what that final summary verse in verse 23 says. Now this I do for the gospel's sake. In all cases, the purpose is the same. Whether we're talking about money, whether we're talking about Jewish law, whether we're talking about Gentile practices, no matter what we're talking about, the purpose is the same. It's everything is calculated for the greatest effectiveness of the gospel, to share gospel blessings with more people. In other words, not living for self, not living for what pleases me the most, but living for others, living for Christ, sacrificing self, sacrificing my rights, sacrificing my preferences and my conveniences in order to be a more effective gospel worker. That's what Paul was talking about. Is that what you thought he was talking about? Is that the way you apply his statement? Understand what he was saying in context and apply it to your life the same way that Paul did, and it will make you a much more effective servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Until tomorrow, this is Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.